Our scripture this morning is taken from Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, along with it almost being Christmas time, we're almost at the end of a year, and we're actually at the end of a decade as well. And I know that when you look back over the last decade and the things that come to mind, I know what you're thinking about. I know that you're thinking about 2010 and Auburn's football national championship. And as we finish this decade, you're kind of remembering that. That stands out. I'm contemplating a New Year's resolution to not mention Auburn football in church anymore. That would be a challenge, a good challenge, right? One of the things as I think about football, though, which is something that I like a lot, and I know some of you do, one of the things that we experience in that or any kind of competition is when we have a desire, we kind of root for the underdog. And I think that's a really common thing and something that Tennessee and Auburn fans have in common, don't we? We're kind of underdogs lately. But that desire to see people rise up and be successful, I think is a joyful thing. And as we look at our scripture today, as we think about Mary, and what we're looking at, the scripture that you heard is a song of praise by Mary after she is responding both to the fact that her cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, was giving birth to a miraculous baby, John the Baptist, and also that Mary herself would give birth to the Savior. Mary expresses this song of praise, and in the song of praise, there is much language about the underdog and about kind of a reversal, a leveling of the situation for people in this world. We've always lived in a world where there were people who did better than others, and some people had a lot in some places and some had a little bit. And in some ways, Mary is expressing that and the biblical hope of a time that, just put it simply, a better world, a better life for all people. Not just the people who are born into good families or in good places or whatever. Not just the rich and the powerful, but a better life for all people. And so in this song of praise, this is what Mary speaks of. She says, "My soul magnifies or glorifies or praises the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the lowliness of his servant with favor. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed." So Mary first is talking about her own situation. Mary was not a special person. She was not upper level. She was very, very common. She came from Nazareth, which was a poor city at that time, not even a city, but a little stopping over place. And so she's talking about her own lowliness and the fact that in the midst of that lowliness of her life and her experience, she received the favor, the blessing of being used by God for this miraculous purpose, that she would give birth to a child who would be the Son of God, who would be the Savior, who would give His life for us, who would be the Christmas gift for all people of that time and all time since. And so she uses that language. She sees herself as being someone low and common. And of course, when she's doing that, she's contrasting herself with people who are higher up. I think that in some ways, we might have trouble hearing this hymn of praise in the same way that Mary expressed it, because we are not like Mary. We are not like Mary. We are not poor. None of us are poor. We live in a very rich country at a very rich time. Sometimes we may not feel that way, but it is true. If you look, you can do some searching on the internet and kind of at income levels around the world, and an income level of around $32,000 a year for a person puts them in the top 1% of income around the world. There are a lot of people in this world that live on far less. Now, the good news with this, too, is that over the years, and particularly in the last 50 years, the rate of global extreme poverty has dropped significantly. But at this time that Mary was living, the average person was poorer than just about anybody in our country today. And so when Mary talks about being lowly, she speaks with authority. And so in this hymn, Mary is talking about a better day, as I've mentioned. And that better day that she envisions was rooted in her understanding of what she had been taught in her Hebrew faith that promised a better day. In Isaiah, Isaiah writes about this better day. One of the things that Isaiah writes, Isaiah the prophet, is the lion laying down with the lamb. That was an image that Isaiah used to describe a time of peace and harmony, in which the animals even would stop attacking one another, and certainly people would live together in peace and harmony as well. She also quotes in her hymn some of the language in Isaiah about this great leveling that would take place in this better day. She says that the lowly would be lifted up and the rich will be brought down. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. So he's using the image of royalty, kings and queens, and that they would no longer be set above everyone else. They would be brought down from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy and according to the promise He made to our ancestors. So Mary is talking about, she is reflecting on her Hebrew scripture and the experience of the Hebrew people, talking about her ancestors, talking about Abraham and Sarah, the called and chosen people of God, and saying that God would fulfill all His promises and that he was fulfilling his promises in Christ, in the birth of this child. And once again, part of that gift is a better day. A better day in which people are not suffering. A better day in which people are not fighting. A better day in which people are not hoarding, but they release and they are generous with others so that everybody has enough. It's a beautiful hymn in which Mary is expressing her praise to God for being included in such a wonderful way in God's wonderful plan of bringing about healing in this world and in this life. We believe that the gift of Mary is a gift for us and for all people. We are taught that it is not God's desire that any should perish, but that all would experience his love and grace in Christ. And so there is a gift given this time of year. We remember that gift. The gift is for all people. The gift is the great equalizer. This gift is for the rich and it is for the poor. It is for the together, perhaps, I might say, and it is for the broken. It is for the free, and it's for the imprisoned. It is God's gift for all people. No matter what our station in life is, whether we are in the 1%, or perhaps for those who are in the bottom 1% with nothing, the gift is for all people. It is God's will that none should perish in this life. And so God sent Christ into the world to reveal God to us. And Jesus revealed God to us in every stage of his life. He revealed God to us in the birth. He revealed God to us in the life. And he revealed God to us in the death and resurrection. And that revelation at each stage was a revelation of love. Of love for all people. And so, Mary sings praise. She says, God has done great things for me. God has done great things for me. I hope that that is a prayer that we can faithfully sing this year. I know that in this life we all have difficulties and sometimes extreme difficulties. And in the midst of some of those extreme difficulties, sometimes it can be harder to see what God has done for us. But this year, as we remember the birth of Christ, we remember what that gift is. That gift is God's love that is so great that God came to earth to be with us, and God is with us. God is Emmanuel. He is with us in the midst of everything that we go through, whatever our station in life, whether things are going great or whether they're just plain awful. The gift is with us. But may we remember that God has done, like God has done in Mary, God has done great things for all of us. And the hope that we have this Christmas and every day of our lives is rooted in that. It is rooted in God's love that is shown fully, once again, not just in the birth of Christ, but also in the life. Also in the death and new life, and the new life that he offers us today and every day. It is God's Christmas gift for all people. Let us receive and let us share. Let us pray. God, we thank you that those in this life who feel forgotten or not forgotten. We thank you that those who feel left behind are not left behind, that your love is for all and your gift is for all people. God, help us to count the gifts that you have given us. Help us to see the good things that you have done for us. And in the midst of difficulty, we remember those gifts and we know that there are greater gifts to come. And for that, we give you thanks. God, help us to honor you with our lives. Help us to praise you. Help us to sing a song of praise just as Mary did. We thank you, we praise you, and we do all these things in Christ's name. Amen.